is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he is in New York City. Wherever you might be, we thank you for tuning in. It's Thursday, February 6th. The year is 2025. We've had a busy day. NBA trade deadline passed. Kevin Durant still on the Suns, probably unhappy. Good for him. Dallas Maverick fans are miserable. Laker fans are happy. Laker fans get everything they want. The Lakers, the Dodgers, they just get everything that they want. It's NFL honors. It's going to start in about an hour from now. In about 2 hours, we'll find out, or maybe three, we'll find out who the MVP of the league is. And then we'll also find out who's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We have to do more song and more dances before we get to the actual the Super Bowl. I'm ready for it at this point. Come on now. It's been almost 2 weeks. Thank you to everybody for listening on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM 375, and a smart speaker. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. We've had a busy show. How about this? In about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Herm Edwards. Nowadays, you could see Herm on ESPN breaking down everything in the NFL. Herm used to coach, and he was also a scout for the Chiefs. Herm Edwards also started his career playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. I saw a unique perspective from someone who has a very good relationship with both teams. So Herm Edwards, looking forward to that conversation in about 20 minutes. Thank you oh so much to Warren Moon. Warren Moon, NFL Hall of Famer. Hickey, I was distracted. I'm watching NFL Honors. I'll turn this off, Hickey. There we go. Warren Moon joined us earlier in the show. And thank you to Warren Moon for coming through. Pro Football Hall of Famer. And then last hour, we had a chat with Joe Vardon from The Athletic. National staff writer, covers all things NBA. As him and I both came to the conclusion, mutual understanding that the Cleveland Cavaliers acquiring DeAndre Hunter from the Atlanta Hawks, and then also the Los Angeles Lakers going as far to pick up Mark Williams and Luka Doncic, that they did great here prior to the NBA trade deadline. So we got a lot more to get into as the show continues on. Right before we went to break, we discussed Ryan Day, all these NBA trade rumors. Ryan Day's not going anywhere. Whether you love him or hate him, he's going to be sticking it out in Ohio State. Has a contract that's going to take him through 2031. He's now getting paid $12.5 million a year instead of his 10. Good for him and congratulations. We have so much to get into. Hickey, nobody wearing no dumb outfits yet on NFL Honors, right? Are they just starting?
Yeah, they're just starting. At least on my TV right now, I see Sam Darnold, who has the most...
Oh, boy.
Down the middle business Wall Street suit you could have. It's like a navy blue suit, no frills, nothing.
He looks like a Dick Tracy villain?
I don't know who that is and what you're referencing.
Oh, boy.
He looks like he could sell you some stocks.
Okay. Dick Tracy, his villains, they look like mobsters from like the 20s and 30s.
Maybe. Maybe a slight mobster feel, but it feels like more like Wall Street, bro, is what I would with.
Here we go. Sam Darnold, is he going to win? What is that award he's up for? Comeback Player of the Year?
Comeback Player of the Year, CPOY.
Oh, my goodness. And if let's look through this right now.
He should.
Oh, comeback player? What did he come back from? Being a bum?
Being crappy. Yeah, absolutely. That's a major comeback. You could argue that's the ultimate comeback.
Damar Hamlin 2 years ago died, and they brought him back to life. Come on now.
And unfortunately, look, great story.
And he's a candidate again, right?
Yes. That feels...
Just because he's alive? we've had him on the show twice. I'm happy that he's alive, but he can be on the comeback play of the year every year that he's alive, I guess.
That, I mean, until he wins. I mean, I don't know. The one thing I'm not sure about, I don't know if you've seen it, is are the finalists based on like the top five vote getters, or is it just like the NFL picks the finalists and then you from there you vote?
I believe NFL Honors, all the categories are voted on via the Associated Press.
Right, but I'm saying, like, so the finalists, right? Like, we have five finalists.
I guess these are the top five, right?
Okay. So
yeah, a nation who votes on the awards? A nationwide panel of 50 media members who regularly cover the league. Yeah.
Right. My question is, like, when you get the finalists, for in this case, DeMar Hamlin is the one that we're targeting here.
Yeah.
Is DeMar Hamlin a finalist because the NFL forced him to be a finalist and is hoping that he wins after he realistically got screwed last year, losing to Joe Flacco? Or are there people voting for him that after they, you know, tabulated all the votes, okay, he was within the top five vote getters of comeback player of the year, we're now going to announce him as a finalist? Like, what do you think comes first? Is it just you can vote for anyone for anything and the top five guys are finalists? Or is it here the finalists vote for these guys?
I'm assuming somehow, some way, the guys are nominated and then they kind of whittle that down through some type of voting process and then they come to this. I don't think you just write people in.
I would agree. Which then I think lends a theory that, okay, fine, DeMar Hamlin is put on this comeback player of the year award list by the NFL.
Because Joe Flacco got off his couch, okay.
Right, exactly right. And the NFL wants to give him the award.
These are the other finalists. Joe Burrow? No, sir. He had a great year, MVP. If the team went to the postseason.
And he missed, what, half the season last year with that wrist injury?
Yeah. We got J.K. Dobbins here. No, sorry, sir. Blowing out your ACL doesn't do it. No, I'm just saying he's not going to win.
No, I just like you. Just matter of fact, like, sorry, you got to do a whole lot worse than torn ACL for two of my vote.
Christian Gonzalez was a rookie. He ripped up his shoulder. He had a good first year. I think he even played four games in his rookie season. We got DeMar Hamlin and Sam Darnold. So Sam Darnold is going to win comeback player of the year, and it's just going to be hilarious because – hey, if you came from a different country and you pulled up on Sam Darnold and he's like, hey, I heard you won comeback player of the year. What'd you come back from? What does Sam Darnold respond to? What does he say?
My career. I came back from my career. Came back from my turnovers.
Sam Darnold is going to put this award in his back closet. He's going to go, you know, who's paying me this season? Who's giving me a bigger check than the $10 million that I just got myself from the Minnesota Vikings last year? They're pretty hilarious. What else we got here? Coach of the year. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, Sean Payton, Dan Quinn, Andy Reid. Andy Reid is not winning coach of the year. We can forget about that. Sean Payton is not winning it. Kevin O'Connell is going to win coach of the year, Hickey. Dan Campbell is here. You think Kevin O'Connell got it?
I'm with you. I think so far we got a Vikings sweep 2-for-2.
Yeah, you turned Sam Darnold into something until the last two games. You got it. Wow, we got finalists. Well, we got two Eagles, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, and God bless them. They're not winning. They got to cancel each other out. We got Chop Robinson, someone who you're familiar with on the Dolphins. We got Jared Verse and Braden Fisk. I think Verse is going to get it. What do you think?
I'm with you. I think we're 3-for-3. He's had a good year. The vote should already be in by the playoff time, so this may be irrelevant, but I think also that nice playoff game against Eagles certainly helps. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he wins it. I'm with you.
This one is pretty simple as well. Offensive Rookie of the Year, as we have this discussion, Malik Nabers just stepped off of being interviewed on the red carpet. We got Brock Bowers, who led the world in all these catches playing for the Raiders. We got Malik Nabers, who is the only offensive weapon worth a damn on the Giants. We got Bo Nix, who took the Broncos to the playoffs, and Brian Thomas Jr., on the Jacksonville Jaguars. We can go ahead and X him off the list right now. We can get rid of Malik Nabers. Bo Nix, great but not good enough. Brock Bowers, good for you. Offensive Rookie of the Year, easy peasy. It's Jaden Daniels. There's nothing else to say. Greatest rookie season of a quarterback ever.
You are 1,000,000% right. It's a shame for Brock Bowers that if he came out any other year, probably wins the award. I mean, he had set the rookie record for receptions, receiving yards with those quarterbacks in Vegas, and no real other threat. Like, great year, but it's not even close.
Yeah.
Should be unanimous.
Yeah, we have Defensive Player of the Year. We know Myles Garrett won it last year. I thought T.J. Watt should have won it. Zach Bond on the Eagles is not winning it. There are too many good damn plays on the Eagles. Not happening. Don't care how many tackles he got. Sorry. Trey Hendrickson led the league in sacks this year for the Bengals. Nope, that defense sucked. You got TJ Watt. I don't think so. I think this is going to be between Pat Surtain of the Denver Broncos and then Myles Garrett. I think it's going to go to Patrick Surtain. What do you think?
I would actually say Trey Hendrickson. I feel like the Bengals' crappy defense actually makes his case stronger.
Wow.
To where their defense stunk. They couldn't get a pass rush outside of him, and he still led the league in sacks when he was like the only threat that every offense had to worry about every single week. I'll give that to him.
I'm using it as a negative. I'm saying you play for the Bengals, man. They ain't giving you crap. Not giving you crap.
Quap.
Yeah, not giving you crap. Yeah, okay. What else we got here? Oh, well, this one is easy. Offensive player of the year. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Derrick Henry, Lamar. Derrick Henry isn't getting it. Ja'Marr Chase literally led the NFL in receptions, touchdowns, and yards. He ain't getting it. It's going to Saquon. And Joe Burrow is there. They're not, two Bengals don't matter. It's going to Saquon. This is, I feel like offensive player of the year is runner up to, you know, MVP.
I would agree. Usually right goes to the non-quarterback who maybe could have had an MVP case, but again, the quarterback usually wins out unless it's like overwhelming. It is crazy, like as you kind of go through some of these finalists, like it is crazy how deep the list is, like with how great and how many individual players had such great years where we're talking about Brock Bowers having no chance because Jaden Daniels is that great.
Yeah.
Or even Trey Hendrickson, no chance.
You want two
sacks.
You want two rookies of the year? You want that? We've had it before.
No. I don't think we have to widen the award or water it down by any stretch of imagination. Okay. But even just like offensive player of the year, we're talking about Joe Burrow, who led the league in every category. Ja'Marr Chase had the triple crown. You know, we're talking about Saquon, who was breaking records. I believe you said Lamar, right, is a finalist as well, like, who was outstanding. Like, it's a lot of great players had great years this year.
Well,
good for the league.
Let's move past that because you talk about Lamar. He's obviously a finalist for MVP. It's Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Lamar Jackson. I know who's not winning. It's not going to be Jared Goff, okay?
Damn.
Not going to be. Nope. I know who's not winning MVP. It will not be Joe Burrow. Didn't even make the playoffs. And they vote on these awards prior to the postseason. If Saquon Barkley is not winning MVP, they're going to give this guy Offensive Player of the Year. This is going to leave us between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Now, it's a toss-up. I think it's a toss-up. I think we're going to have a case of voter fatigue here. Me? I'd give it to Lamar Jackson. Detractors would say he has Derrick Henry right there with him. But I think when you look at the amount of points that he went out there and scored and in 41 touchdowns, and he did more. Just flat and period. I don't think if we took Josh Allen and put him on the Ravens that he would do the same. Lamar is different. I think I would give him the award, but I think Josh Allen is going to win. He's never won it. I think they're going to throw him a bone. Not that he doesn't deserve it, but I think it's going to go to Josh Allen. What do you think, Hickey?
I think Lamar is winning it. I think he should win it. But I will say I am very torn because I kind of, in this award, kind of skew more towards like value over stats. While I think Lamar will and should win, I think I almost kind of go back and forth because I feel like I can make an argument to where, like, if you actually look at the word value, right? Who's more valuable? When you look at what's around Josh Allen offensively versus what's around Lamar offensively, I feel like the Bills offense needs, like, Josh did more with less. Even though Lamar's stats are better,
That's funny.
Lamar because does have better
you
help.
You could say that this is the first year that that's the case. That has been something against Lamar Jackson for a long time, don't you think? People would look at what Patrick Mahomes has and what Josh Allen did have, and they would go, well, if Lamar Jackson had a wide receiver, if Lamar Jackson had another this, and, you know, Zay Flowers looked like he was we know he's a growing wide receiver in the league, and Isaiah Likely are growing, and I know things didn't end all that well for Mark Andrews. Now you got Derrick Henry. He did. But the thing, the whole team is built around, he is the team. Like, he is the team. I don't know if I could say that. And Josh Allen is, to a degree, with the Buffalo Bills. But as long as I've been watching football, I don't think I've ever seen a team that has built everything. And I mean everything. And yeah, you want to work with your quarterbacks and get them the weapons that they need. He's like a video game out there by himself, unlike any player that I've ever seen. I thought I saw that with Mike Vick, and it didn't lead to a Super Bowl and victories and all this other stuff. Lamar Jackson is winning in a different way. He's the team. So it's going to be interesting to see who wins MVP. I believe it's going to be Josh Allen, but Lamar Jackson is just and this is a regular season award too, mind you. His numbers are just off the chain. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time to have a chat with someone who coached in the league for the Kansas City Chiefs and played for the Philadelphia Eagles. We are going to have a conversation with Herman Edwards. Yeah, you can catch him on ESPN on TV, but he's going to be right here with us on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what? Forget MVP. Hickey, I'm going to ask him a more important question. You ready for this?
Yes.
I'm going to ask Herman Edwards whether or not he believes Eli Manning belongs in the Hall of Fame. Herman Edwards is going to be our tiebreaker, okay?
I like it. I can't wait to hear it.
I think Eli belongs in. You don't. Let's hear what Coach has to say. We'll talk with Herman Edwards on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're getting closer and closer to the Super Bowl. And right now it's time to have a chat with someone who's been a member of both organizations. You can catch him on television, on ESPN. You can catch him all over the place. His name is Coach Herm Edwards. How are you, Coach?
I'm well, like everyone else, anticipating probably a pretty close Super Bowl. The last time these guys played, obviously, went down to the final possession, and we know the story. When Patrick Mahomes has the ball at the end of games, he seems to always win those type of games. But it was a very, very, very good football game for the most part, a high-scoring affair. It wasn't a boring Super Bowl by any stretch of the imagination. I think if you're Philadelphia Eagles, you got to look back at it, and there's a couple miscues. Obviously, the big fumble that the Chiefs ran in for a score, that kind of turned the tide. And then having a 10-point lead at halftime and really giving that up in the second half. I mean, those are the two things that I kind of look at.
What do you expect this time around that's going to be different? Obviously, we have a different piece in Saquon Barkley involved.
Yeah, well, you just said it, and that's different. He is a very explosive player. How the Chiefs handle that, I think, is going to be critical. As well as how the Chiefs handle the running game of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Andy Reid's a fabulous football coach, and he's not going to allow that front four of the Eagles to really dominate the game by just rushing the quarterback all day. So I think, you know, he'll have a plan for them. Andy will, to slow this team down. And the way you do it, you got to run early, kind of set the stage for that, make them play the run early, and then do what you do in the passing game. I think if you're Philadelphia, you enter this game with a lot of confidence with your defense in this sense. When you think about playoff competition, they've taken the ball away 10 times. Now, that's not on interceptions alone. That's fumbles. That's caused fumbles. I mean, that's work. That's working to get those. I mean, that's taking the ball away from the opponent when he has it in his hands, whether it's a running back, wide receiver, quarterback. They strip the ball. They punch the ball out. So ball security would be critical. Philadelphia enters the playoffs with 10 takeaways, as we know. But they also enter the playoffs with a kicker that has not been very good down the stretch, missing four opportunities to make kicks. One happened to be a field goal, but here's the one that bothers you. Extra points. Missed three extra points. I would suggest this. If he misses the first one and they score, I'm going for two the rest of the game. I'm not even going to mess around with it. Because right now, I mean, that could be critical when you think about a game of this magnitude, and it went down to a field goal last year. Prior to when these guys played before. You're trusting your field goal kicker? I don't know about that.
Coach Herm Edwards is here with us. Catch him on ESPN. Right now it's the JR Sport Brief Show. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you are leaning to the team that you used to coach and scout for in the Chiefs.
Well, I'm leaning for both parties in this sense. If the Philadelphia Eagles play like they did against Washington, they win this game. They win the game. If the Kansas City Chiefs are in a one-score game and Patrick Mahomes has the ball, we know the story. They'll win three in a row and create history. I'm very fortunate, as you mentioned, got my first job as a coach and a scout with the Kansas City Chiefs. But the team that I played for was the Eagles, and it's kind of ironic. I actually played in the first Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles. It was 44 years ago, and here's the kicker. It was in New Orleans. I've never liked that stadium since we lost the Super Bowl there, Super Bowl 15 against the Raiders. So now they're going back. Fifth Super Bowl by this organization, and they're going back to a spot to kind of like, well, can you erase the bad memories of the Eagles of 44 years ago? We'll see.
Well, Herm, you talk about your time with the Eagles. Everybody remembers the miracle at the Meadowlands. You coached and scouted with the Kansas City Chiefs. When it comes to your own personal feelings, and when you sit down and watch, are you just like, man, I'm a winner either way? How do you look at that?
Correct. And I'm the type of guy, look, I don't get into whether as well during the season, you know, who wins, who doesn't win. I've coached and I played at that level, and I understand how difficult it is, first of all, to get to where these two teams have gotten to, but how hard it is to win a game. I don't root against anybody to lose. I mean, I just watch the game. I'm like a fan. I watch the game, and I have a job of really breaking the game down when it's all said and done and trying to make sense of what happened and trying to give the fan bases of these teams some information, right? Just some information from a coach's and from a player's eye and kind of break it down that way and tell them why it happened. You know, we can always see what happened, but why did it happen? No one knows. You try to figure that out, right? And I think if you've coached and played as long as I have, you kind of understand why certain things happen. Right. You just kind of feel of it. OK, this is why it happened. And errors are made. You know, football is a game of limiting the errors. We always say this in football. More games are lost than won.
Spoken by Coach Herm Edwards here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When you talk about what we're going to see from your perspective, you're a coach. You know what Andy Reid, you know what Sirianni is going through. It's crazy to think about the longevity of Andy Reid and what he's been able to accomplish. 301 victories. Do you think he will catch Shula, especially with Mahomes?
He has a chance, and I don't see him quitting anytime soon or retiring. He is still has energy. As long as you have energy, you can coach, and as long as you have a good team, you feel good about coaching as well, right? So I think no one ever would have thought that. Now, look, I'm not using this as any, you know, as a point, but it is. They play more games now than they did when Coach Shula and those guys coached. You know, when I came in the league, we were only playing 14 games, and then they took it to 16 games. You know, and now it's 17, and they're going to they're getting ready to go to 18. Now, I don't know if Andy will still be coaching, so that gives you more bites of the apple during the season. But with that being said, Andy's done a fabulous job. I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, along with his quarterback. So it'd be interesting. That's what records are for. You know, records are put out there for other guys to challenge it and try to break them. And that's what's so, gratifying about sports and makes it so exciting. There's always a record to look at. And sometimes you say, well, no one will ever do that, right? Well, after what we saw the New England Patriots do, we said, well, nobody will do that anymore. Huh? Not so fast. Patrick Mahomes is trying to win three in a row. No one's ever done that. So, kind of ironic.
Well, on the other side of things, Nick Sirianni has gotten real high. When you look at the Super Bowl appearance, he's gotten real low, criticized for how they finished games and how close they played last year, and now they're back in the Super Bowl. What adjustments have you seen from his perspective, from a coaching perspective, that you think changed and put them back in his spot?
First of all, let me say this about Coach. When you sit in that seat, especially in Philly, That's a hard seat to sit in. Remember, they were tired of Andy going to playoffs. And Andy left and went to the Chiefs. So, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You don't take it personal sitting in that seat, in any seat when you're a head coach. But I think, Coach, when you think about what he's accomplished as the time he's been there, always in the playoffs, he's gone to two Super Bowls now. I mean, you know how hard that is to do? I think Philadelphia fans sometimes, and all fans, they get, you know, they just think it's their birthright after a while. When you get in the playoffs all the time, we should go to the Super Bowl, we should win. We just think like, oh, man, this is like, okay, this is not fantasy football. This is real football. And I think the thing that I enjoy about him, he understands who he is, but more than that, the players trust him. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. The outside noises really don't matter. As long as the locker room, the players, the culture of the team trust the head coach, obviously they have, and they are, in the fact that the man has gone to two Super Bowls now.
Coach Herm Edwards is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. I got to ask you about something important getting ready to go down shortly. We're going to find out who is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And now that we're talking about the NFC East and the Eagles, a lot of people have thoughts about whether or not Eli Manning deserves to be in a hall. Where do you sit on that?
Look, I'm never going to talk negative about any player going into the Hall of Fame. I think if you're mentioned in that sense, you've earned the right to obviously, you know, be brought up in that conversation. You know, look, how they go about picking Hall of Fame players and coaches, I don't get into all that. I mean, I don't have a vote. I just know this, that Manning family is pretty talented. It's a talented bunch. And I played against Archie Manning, right, when he was with the Saints. I go all the way back to the Manning family. My daughter goes to the University of Texas. She's a freshman there, works for the football team. They got a Manning at quarterback there. So, man, I don't know. All I know, if you're a Manning, you grow up, learn how to play quarterback, and you play it at a high level. And all those Mannings, all of the ones that have played quarterback, obviously, have been pretty good. Yeah. If he gets in, good for him.
Yeah, we certainly see what Arch is getting ready to do down in Texas. And then Eli's son is throwing a ball around at the Pro Bowl. So a long line there. Coach Herman Edwards has been joining us. We can catch you on ESPN. Where else can we follow you? Or is that it, Coach?
Well, that's it. I work for the Worldwide Leader. I'm either on television or on the radio all the time. I do some stuff for Good Morning America every Sunday. I come on that program about 7:40, I believe it is, Good Morning America. Then I do ABC News at about 1. So my plate's full. I'm good. That's all I need. I don't need a whole lot. I'm just trying to talk about football.
Hey, Coach, you have to have some type of hat. You got a shirt. You have something that has Eagles on one side and Chiefs on the other, right? Nothing split?
Well, I got better than that. I got, here we go. Let me see. I got this.
Kelly right. Green.
All right, now let me go. Hold 1 second. And I got that.
Representing for both of them.
So I got them all now. I got a few.
We see that. Well, Coach, enjoy the game. We certainly are going to watch it as well. Thank you for the time. Always appreciate it. A pleasure chatting with you.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now, it's time for a news flash. Here's Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Coach Herman Edwards for joining us in the last break. If you missed the conversation, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Always good talking to Herm. Now, let me tell you this. Hickey, I asked Coach what he thought about Eli Manning going into the Hall of Fame. I said that he would be the tiebreaker between the two of our opinions. I think Eli is a Hall of Famer. You think he is not. Coach pled the fifth. And I think by him pleading the fifth, I think he's in agreement with you.
I would agree, because if he thought so, he would have just came out and said it, right? There's nothing. No one's going to crucify him.
He said I want to be negative towards, you know, anybody.
That's right. Which means that if he was to be positive, he would have just said it. Absolutely. Yeah. Look at his resume. 2 Super Bowls. Beat Brady.
Hickey, if I would have asked him, hey, coach, do you think Tom Brady is a Hall of Famer? What would he say to me?
Absolutely, JR. What kind of question is that?
Correct. Yeah, there you go. Yep. Eli, no answer. Damn. It's rough. You know, Hickey, if Eli doesn't get in this year, he'll get in. You don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but do you at least think he'll get in?
I think he will get in, yes.
Yeah, good.
I don't think many people share my opinion.
Really? I think most people don't believe Eli's a Hall of Famer.
In terms of, I guess I'll phrase it better, in terms of the voters. Like, I think he'll get in eventually, no doubt about it.
I don't get it, Hickey. Look, the name of the game is to win. That's what he did. He played a long time, almost longer than a lot of quarterbacks that have ever played. Longevity. And he won. Big time. And in historic fashion, it wasn't like, you know, this is Brad Johnson or what's the guy on TV or he's coaching out or the Ravens. His name is escaping me.
Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer. Yeah. Like, it's not like Trent Dilfer was able to play, you know, 18 years and have an average ass career. And then all of a sudden he turned into God in the playoffs. Like, Eli was out there and then he turned it up to a historic level. He's a special case of how he won. I'm looking forward to him getting in the hall. And it may not be this year, but when he go, and Hickey, I don't like the Giants. I do not care. I just like when Tom Brady loses. That's it.
And that's, you know what? I think you share that sentiment with a lot of people. What's interesting is if he does not get in this year, I was talking about it with Marco in the break because he's a big Giants fan. Next year on the ballot is Drew Brees.
Yeah.
The year after that is Big Ben.
Oh, boy.
The year after that is Tom Brady.
Oh, come on.
And so when we played that clip from Ira Kaufman earlier in the show who said, like, you know, hey, look, Eli's not a Hall of Famer. He thinks his day will come, but not this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no rules, right? So you can put 2 quarterbacks in, you know, next year, the same year. I don't know if they want to do that. And if they don't, you know, you look at Eli, then, okay, doesn't get in this year. Well, I'm assuming Drew Brees is getting in over Eli next year. Big Ben getting in over Eli the year after that. Tom Brady getting in over Eli after that. So now we're looking at, what is it? That's 3 years. So now we're looking at the earliest he can get in, 2029.
Yeah, as long as he gets in, he'll get in. Over Big Ben, I think him and Big Ben are at even space, I believe.
Oh, really?
I do.
Big Ben. 3 Super Bowls, all these appearances.
But I think Big Ben played on better teams, especially defensively.
He also played better. Big numbers.
But they weren't reliant on him as much. I mean, look, they threw the football, and yeah, throughout the course, and maybe we need to go ahead and ask Natiki about this, or maybe not. I'm just saying. I know Natiki and Eli haven't always been simpatico. They had some bad years. The Giants had bad. You know, I need to look this up because I want to say throughout the course of their tenure, like Ben Roethlisberger played on more successful teams than Eli did. And I don't think it was just because of Eli. You get what I'm saying? The Steelers had good teams, man. I don't think they did. The Giants popped and peaked and valleyed and they were just okay. And then when they weren't okay, they went to the moon.
But you would hope for at least, you know, again, if you're a Hall of Fame quarterback at that position, you would hope at least to be able to, you know, win a playoff game, maybe outside of the Super Bowl runs or stuff like that. Like,
Ben Roethlisberger was tough as nails. He was tough as hell. He played for better teams and it was more consistency with the Steelers than there was with the Giants. That's it. I don't think. And I'm not going to say outside of being tough and delivering the ball. And they let him throw the ball a whole hell of a lot more, you know, later in his career. But I don't think Ben Roethlisberger was out there week to week to week, especially early in his career. It's no different than Eli. I think they let Eli let it rip a little bit more. But Ben Roethlisberger, they were like, listen, brother, defense got it. Control the game. And that man just stood back there and he whooped ass when necessary. But it wasn't like he was throwing darts like I don't know, Phil Rivers or Peyton Manning or Breeze. Like, Roethlisberger, you're looking at the stat sheet sometime, and it's just like, okay, they held him back because they didn't want him throwing a rock like that.
Early in his career, yes. You know, that first Super Bowl against the Seahawks, no doubt about it, he was along for the ride for sure. But as his career went on, like, you know, they had the Killer Bees, then, like, the early, you know, 2010s, like, they definitely transitioned away from, like, a lockdown defense to more of, like, an offense first.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
Santonio,
like,
Holmes, Plaxico.
Yeah.
But it was still defense.
But, like, the 2011, 12, 13, like, in that range, like, I don't think you could say the defense was reliable enough to where Big Ben was along for the ride. That was an offensive-driven team first.
I'm not saying he was along for the ride. I'm saying he didn't have to do as much as Eli. And he had better talent with him. Roethlisberger did.
All right, I'm trying to see how the stats compare here.
Okay, I'm saying I like Big Ben, but they're both Hall of Fame QBs, if you ask me. That's my thought process.
So in 2 years from now, now I got distracted. Bill Belichick wearing every ring on his finger.
Is his girlfriend with him?
No.
Oh, wow. Left at home?
Well, no, I saw a picture. I think she's there, but not at least this interview.
Why would he not take her with him?
Apparently.
Yes.
Now, this is Twitter, so I will say, I'm about to say this without confirming. I saw one tweet, and I did not look anything else about it. So I don't want to be spreading fake news, but this absolutely could be a possibility. Apparently, Bill Belichick's girlfriend today was seen with a decent rock on what traditionally is engagement finger on the left side.
Oh, no. That's not true. I see Bill Belichick. Yeah, he has rings on.
Plenty of rings.
Is it on every finger?
If he has the Giants ones.
Oh, boy. He is looking like he is a security guard at the back of the mall. That suit looks... I thought he was with a young woman. That suit, that burgundy suit. Oh, he's one of the top NFL 100. I don't know what that suit signifies. What is that? He's been around 100 years. What does that suit mean?
Oh, that was for when they did the NFL 100 team.
Okay. And he
in 2019, and he made it
voted
as a coach.
Oh, there was coaches on the 100? What?
Of course.
Six coaches?
I don't know.
I didn't know they had coaches on that list.
Okay, so I did some digging.
All right.
I don't know. This might be better or worse. I don't know. You tell me. She's wearing a ring on her left hand, a Super Bowl ring.
Oh, okay. Good for her. Well, they're playing games now. She's like, Bill, this is how we play with people. Good for her. They should get married. Let me just stop there. Let me just not even go there. I thought you were going to give me a stat about Eli and Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, I was. Then I looked up, and then I saw Bill, and I saw all his rings. I said, wow, that looks pretty gaudy.
God bless him. Got a woman 50 years his junior.
She looks good. Good for Bill.
Yeah, he's probably sleeping good at night, isn't he? Think he goes to sleep?
I hope so. I mean, UNC, all that recruiting's going to wear him out.
We keep talking about how Tom Brady is splitting double duty, right? Tom Brady has to call the Super Bowl on Fox. Tom Brady has to run the Raiders. He's picking up one phone call telling Mark Davis what to do. The other phone call, he's sitting there with Kevin Burkhart. Like, Tom Brady's doing two jobs. And then he's a dad. Yeah, he's a dad. So he's doing three jobs and other stuff and running TB12. He's a busy man. Bill Belichick has to run North Carolina football. And he has to keep up with a 25-ish year old woman. We know coaches got crazy hours. Bill Belichick is probably getting up. I don't know. Hickey, what time do you think he would traditionally get up? He doesn't live a normal life. He travels and stuff. But you think he's getting up between like 5 and 6 traditionally?
Yeah, I'd say honestly probably on the earlier side, like closer to 5 than 6.
And so what time is he going to sleep with this young lady?
10? I mean...
Oh, 10 o'clock.
He doesn't need, right? The older folks don't need as much sleep as younger folks. So he can maybe afford to stay up a little later and wake up a little earlier, not be as tired as others. So maybe he go 11? Does he need five? I mean, how many? I mean, I don't know.
Does he need five hours?
He could have been at midnight. Is that crazy?
I don't know. Is he? He must be getting that stuff from the gas station. Okay. That's what he.
You think that's what it is?
How's he doing all of this? I don't know. How you coaching a whole program and then keeping up with this 25-year-old woman? Unless all of a sudden he taught her secrets and then she's the coach. I don't know.
Hmm.
Congratulations to him. And this award show still hasn't started. When are we going to find out who? By the time they announce MVP, 100% chance that we'll be gone, right?
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Yeah. We got to talk about that tomorrow. What award do you think they'll give away while we're here on the air?
They've already given away Assistant Coach of the Year. Spoiler alert, Ben Johnson won it. No fanfare there.
Yeah.
I bet you they do the rookies first. I bet you before we get out of here in an hour, we'll see at least Offensive Rookie of the Year, probably Defensive Rookie of the Year as well.
And I see Snoop Dogg is hosting, so probably terrible Snoop Dogg jokes. Okay.
Damn. Great. Not a fan of Snoop, huh?
I love Snoop, but he hosts everything? The Olympics, NFL stuff, Martha Stewart, he's just all over the place.
He's hot. Everyone's a piece of him.
This guy was on death row like 30 years ago. He wasn't on death row. That was a record label. You know what I mean. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. What a turnaround, right?